The following program is rated M for a mature audience. It contains coarse language.
Coming to you live from a very cool corner of Midtown Sacramento, it's the Nate Darling Show with Sam Platts, Diana Hong, and Kareem Daniels there. And now, a man who does things because he can. Here's Nate.
Once again, without the internet, we're going to do a show for you.
That's because Caitlyn Jenner broke it.
Apparently, Caitlyn Jenner broke my internet.
I'm so clever.
I'm not at all pleased with this.
That was pretty good, right?
That was good.
Right? It was good. I'm just mad. Bitch broke my internet.
Hella just like, I'm just here searching for fucking compliments.
Well, let's take a moment here, though. Let's take a moment and remember the world pre-internet. Everyone who's listening at home, go back. Imagine what you were wearing.
They wouldn't listen to this if there's no internet.
Right. This show's available on the internet. Although you can get it through your cellular service.
Heyo.
So there is a way to get it without traditional internet. Yeah, there would be no podcast. So I'm not going to slam the internet, but yeah. You know, I was talking about that before. It's like I remember a time before the internet or when the internet was a dial-up modem.
AOL.
Where it was more frustrating. I never had AOL. By the way, my girlfriend's email address is still at AOL.com.
No way.
Way.
Represent.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she's old school. Yeah.
She never thought to change it?
It's not a thought to. She didn't want to.
That's
been her email address forever.
Yeah.
Okay.
So she didn't feel the need to change it. So she didn't.
I lightly respect that.
Yeah. So, coming up on the show today, we're going to just talk about stuff, freeform it a little bit, just like on the Wednesday episode, because we don't have internet. So
this is like the wild, wild west, bro.
It is, because to pull the curtain back a little bit, we talk about news stories from around the country and around the world, and I put together a list of links, and I'll, you know, open up the things, and we'll read part of the stories, and we'll talk about how crazy it is, or how funny it is, or, you know, absurd it is, or we'll yell about it. But none of the links work right now. Somehow, a cached version of the outline program that I use has the stuff,
right?
But I can't read the articles, so so we're just gonna wait. Wednesday's show I thought went great. It was just me and Diana and our brains. So
what a scary but beautiful thought.
It really was. Yeah. It really was quite good because...
I am a professionally trained radio DJ.
There you go. So I don't need that nonsense. I go back to playing. In college, we had two turntables and a CD player.
Two speakers and a microphone.
So we were doing that. I worked at a radio station that had one turntable, two CD players, and a cart machine. Cart machine's a lot like an 8-track. It looks like an 8-track, but one thing is recorded on it.
Okay.
And in the great setups, you put it in, and it's a commercial or it's a song. You hit it, you play it, you move on. It's super simple.
Nice.
I'm kind of flying blind here as far as what we're gonna do. So let's start with you, Sam. You missed the first show.
Ooh,
yeah, bummer.
Are you gonna tell them
what
about? The story on the first show?
Oh, about the twins?
Yeah.
Oh, we'll get to that.
Oh, it's going
to
be later? Okay.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second. It's a Florida corner story.
Nice.
With twins.
With
you know twins. That's some sexy time.
No, not that type of twins.
Wait.
So what have you been up to for the past couple of weeks? I know you, and you don't have to get into the details of the work part of your trip, but I know you spent the better part of a week in Reno.
Yes, I did. You know, we had Memorial Day off, and that was splendid and enjoyable. But then the rest of that week, I was up in Reno doing some video work. And it was fun because the crew I was with was fan-freaking-tastic. And that made it, even though the long days, long hours, tedious setup breakdown.
And yeah, we were all in it together.
We were all in it together, keeping it positive, having a good time.
Keeping it real.
Plus... on the company dollar, I got to eat some fantastic places I otherwise would not have gone to myself.
Ooh,
so that was nice.
On the company dollar.
Cool. What would be the best thing you had to eat in Reno?
Like every meal was pretty good. I had a salmon scrambler thing. It was like a salmon scrambled eggs with spinach and like this feta cheese on top. Some kind of cheese on top.
Is that like a
and how was it?
It was goddamn fantastic.
Damn, that was loud.
Oh, good for you.
Christian Bale and you are on the same vocal level.
Yeah. And I don't know if Diana's noticed this yet, but I'm wearing a pair of pants.
What the fuck, bro? Bro,
I should have thrown these away already. But
Sam is wearing a pair of pants that have a hole in the crotch.
Right,
and he was like,
right,
Diana didn't notice this, and just fucking
spread
opens it up. And I'm just like, first off, why would I notice it in the first place? Because he crosses
his legs.
Because
I know you like to check it out every
now and then. Fucking he crosses his legs like a lady. So like, or like a man, like a lesbian. He crosses his legs like a lesbian.
Yeah.
How would I notice? I'm not going to like, I don't have like x-ray vision that could see through your fucking legs.
He also cuffs his pants like a lesbian too. Let's be fair.
You like,
me and
you
the lesbians have a lot in common.
Yeah.
If you were you could be like a little like androgynous butch or something. Like your style is like,
so I
feel like I should take notes on how to dress from you.
Well, my friend Alejandro, he was here for one show.
Yeah.
And he used to do pool cleaning way back in the day, and he was cleaning someone's pool, and the woman told him, you know what, you would make a gorgeous lesbian. He's got these long eyelashes, nice skin, just sparkling eyes.
Yes,
yeah, that was pretty good.
Oh my gosh, no one's ever told me that. I'm like all of a sudden jealous.
Too on the nose. Way too on the nose. So you didn't bring out, did you get a chance to do any gambling while you were there?
I had a lot of chance to, but I chose not to.
Okay.
I know that my gambling capacity is it's a dangerous slope, and I can tell that because of quarter machines, specifically like those claw things. I don't give a fuck about the prize. I just want the sensation of winning.
Yes.
So I'll spend $20 to win a little stuffed animal that I don't want, and I shove it at the next kid who's waiting in line.
Yeah, this $2 stuffed animal.
Right, right.
Yeah. No,
so if I went to actual slots or... Hell, I love playing blackjack and all that for fake money or just kind of for fun.
Sure.
And so if I was to do that for real, I can get dangerous.
Yeah. It does. Well, that's how they build the big casinos.
Exactly.
It's not because people go there and win lots of money and go home. It's because
it's
of the other
the losses,
way.
Yeah.
And those are pretty big.
Oh, here's a little something about the Reno trip that I thought was funny. This is a little giggle moment here.
Okay.
So there was two bands that I love, and I've seen each of them play live individually, and they were playing together at what used to be the Reno Hilton is now the Grand Sierra Resort.
Okay.
The opening band was Passion Pit. They put on an outstanding live performance.
I like Passion Pit.
And opening for them was Young the Giant. Another fun,
very
talented
them.
Band. Now, I got on the phone with my girlfriend one night, and I was telling her about how bummed I was. Because the plan was I was going to stay up for the whole weekend.
Right.
And she was going to drive up and meet me, and we'd hang out, you know, the weekend. But she had something come up with her mom and wasn't able to. So I was like, oh, I'm kind of bummed because Friday night, guess who's playing? She's like, what? What are you talking about? I said, Passion Pit is playing with Young the Giant. And there's just this silence on the phone. She's like, what? I said, Passion Pit is playing with Young the Giant.
You text her, see it?
She's like, oh my God, I got it now, but I thought you just said Passion Pit is playing with Young Vagina. And she's like, what the fuck are you saying right now?
You dirty ass pervert.
Yeah, tomorrow night, Passion Pit's playing with Young Vagina. I want to be there. I want to.
And who wouldn't? I mean, really.
Who wouldn't want to see that? That show would be great.
Yeah,
no,
show.
Not really. Too much.
Too much.
We just like we don't have the full story because someone's internet broke.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
there was
what's
like
the partial story.
The goat, the Kenyan guy.
Oh yeah.
And now, so anytime there's like, yeah, I'm just like, that's so wrong.
Yeah, the to bring you up to speed, Sam, or if you didn't hear the show on Wednesday,
reality story.
No, it is not.
Okay.
A Kenyan lawyer has offered our president Barack Obama a dowry for the hand of his daughter Malia in marriage. The dowry includes 50 cows, 70 sheep, and 30 goats.
That's pretty tempting.
It's a very generous...
For a married president.
Well, no, for his 16-year-old daughter.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, listen, he can't be president forever. He's going to have
to
go... And it's not like he's going to be able to do the... He can't go back to being like a smash and grab lawyer. He can't have some catchy bankruptcy.
He can't
jingle.
Just go back to that shit. Nah.
He can't. He can't be Better Call Saul. So you know, the quiet life of a farmer.
Yeah, that's
for him.
Suiting, yeah. And maybe if Michelle could get along with it, and maybe they can do this whole like.
She does like
polygamy.
The garden. She likes the garden. Nice. Why are you saying polygamy?
I thought he was going to have to marry this young 16-year-old girl.
He was in love with... Are we forgetting the whole 8 years of being in love with her?
The president's daughter.
Oh, the daughter. I thought
the
president...
No. The dowry from the Kenyan lawyer...
I'm all flipped out.
...would be to marry the president's daughter.
I hear you.
You know what he's thinking? Young vagina. He is thinking
That's
of young
all
vagina.
He's thinking.
Okay, young
That's
vagina.
All he's thinking. Yeah. The Kenyan guy, too.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
That's whack.
Hey, Diana, does that bookshelf look like it's leaning to you?
Oh, my God. It hella is. I
just noticed that. I'm going to have to do something about that.
Yo,
is that pine? Is that pine wood?
Probably. It's from
IKEA. Don't you have to finish it or something
like that? It's from IKEA. You don't have to do anything.
It's an optional.
You can do what you want. I can do what I want.
But, like, because
if it was an outdoor structure, you'd probably finish
it. Okay, that's why. Because I'm like, that shit is leaning. Like, leaning.
It is,
like
but
a
it,
tower of
it
pizza.
Can only go.
Or when you do the rock away, that
What's
dance.
Up, Goof Troop?
I pull up my pants, do the rock. No, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. It's not.
I was distracted, and now it's become a thing.
It's a thing.
I realize all my jokes are really bad.
It finally happened, everyone.
In the moment of self-realization.
Like, the inevitability of
in
pain.
In person, like, it's amazing how I get anyone, like, any or like any friends, like, in person. Because some of the shit I say is just really unattractive. But on stage, I mean, they're all right. I'm not saying they're the greatest, but, like, they're all right. Like,
that's your polished moment. That's your polished.
I guess. Yeah. But then, like, the real me is just kind of, like, makes stupid-ass shit like that. And I hear it. After I say, because I'm so proud of it in my head, I want to say it out loud. And the second I say it out loud, I regret it immediately. Just like shit.
But it builds character. So don't stop.
Getting rejected. That's how I get rejected.
Yeah.
I don't put myself out there, but you know what I do.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go through that thing and forget. I don't have
you
a lot.
You need to make a lighter or something because it looks like there's hella shit on it.
There's a lot of stuff on it, but it's not the stuff up top's not that heavy. It's like DVDs. So except for the very top where... that's normally where the mic stands live is up there. And I think what's just happened is I happened to pull on it and started leaning. I just got to push it back over.
Yeah.
It'll be good.
Realign. Well, it's like a chiropractor.
Shit. Yeah.
You just have to realign that shit.
Realign it. Maybe tighten down some bolts.
Yeah.
One would say I should have secured it a little better.
IKEA furniture does often come with a little hook that you can put to your wall.
Well, that came with, I believe, a cross piece, and I don't recall if I have it on there or not.
Well, so if one of the cats climbs up there, it's game over. Especially that fat one half.
How dare you, sir?
That cat gets up there. I hope you're wearing a hard hat, young man.
Oh my God, you should have seen Hef earlier. He was being a little slut.
He was laying on the top of the fridge, but he had his front legs hanging off the corner of the fridge, one on each side. And the hinge of the freezer door basically just jammed up into his chest. And he didn't give a shit. He's just hanging out. Just hanging out.
He's a weirdo.
Oh, and the best part, for the Well Hung podcast, which will be available on Monday, we're almost done the show, Sam. This is great. And all of a sudden, I notice out of the corner of my eye, Ace jumps up past the laptop where we're recording. Woo! And then I don't see Audacity, which is the program we're recording on. And I'm like, what happened to it? Where did it go? Did he stop?
A little tail whip.
He somehow managed to minimize the window.
Witchcraft, dude. He's a black cat.
No, that's Ace is a tiger cat.
Oh, you're talking about Ace?
Yes.
Okay.
Because yeah. So, thank God. But the whole thing is there. So, Well Hung podcast on Monday. So all that happening. Got a trip to Vermont coming up in a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Going back
see
there,
how Pop's doing.
See my dad. Go to Montreal for a day, which will be fun. My girlfriend is working on the East Coast. She's going to be flying up. She'll meet me in Vermont.
Has she been to your old homeland with you before?
No, she's not been to Vermont ever.
Right on.
So we're gonna do that, and then we are flying back on the same flight.
How fresh.
Well, it worked out really well that she was able to get, not only get on the flight, she has the seat next to mine.
Wow.
So, no, yeah, that worked out really well.
Soup's romantic.
Soup's.
And here's the other announcement, and you might have seen this on Facebook. I'm spending Thanksgiving in Las Vegas.
Yeah, what's going on in Vegas?
I didn't
friend?
See that. What?
I'm spending Thanksgiving that. In Vegas.
What do you got planned?
Well, not a lot. Because again, Leslie hits me up with, this is a couple weeks ago. She goes, "What are you doing for Thanksgiving?" And I said, "I don't know. It's May."
That's a very valid answer.
And she goes, "Because my dad and I are going to go to Las Vegas for Thanksgiving. Do you want to go?"
Wait, what the fuck?
Why is this a tradition of theirs?
No, it is not.
It's a one-shot deal?
It is not. They went to Vegas together last year and had a good time.
Okay.
And so she thought that would be the thing to do.
Right on.
And I was like, I don't know. I'm interested, but uh-huh. I've got like a 5-year tradition with my friends Hootie and Amy.
Right.
That goes back to when my second ex-wife left me.
Oh damn.
And so I've spent Thanksgiving with them in Salinas every year.
The family, right?
Yeah.
Whole friend family.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, let me check with him. And I text him and he texts me back. Let me see if I can find the exact text.
He's like, "What? Well, are we invited too?"
No, that was not necessarily it. Let me see if I can find it.
See, for me, Vegas, that would be more like of a New Year's kind of gig for me.
I mean, you know, honestly, I think, I think my mom's going back to Korea. My dad might too. So if it's just me alone and like.
You're moving back or just visiting for Thanksgiving?
No, just going back. Okay. So if it's me alone in the States, and used to be like I would have like friends, like Friendsgiving and stuff like that. But now, like here in Sacramento, everyone has their families. Like they come back for their families.
Yeah, yeah.
I would actually go to Vegas and get hammered by myself. Uh-huh. And I would spend Thanksgiving like that.
You're never
and
by
eat
yourself.
At a buffet.
You're never there by yourself.
Yeah. So,
and I'm not the only one hammered too. See, I'll be perfect in Vegas.
Fitting.
So it's not in my text. It was Facebook Messenger. So I will never find it.
Yeah.
But basically, he said, "Look, if your girlfriend invites you to Vegas, go to Vegas. We'll figure something else out." So I'm like,
dope.
"All right, I'm in.
There's logic.
I'm in."
Yeah.
It's booked. We're going
Vegas
Tuesday through Friday of Thanksgiving week. I will be in Las Vegas.
Where are y'all staying?
We're staying at the world's largest hotel, the MGM Grand.
Ooh, are you doing the suites?
We will be, I believe so. We've got a king room with a hot tub.
Oh.
Yeah, you got your own hot tub?
Yeah. Well, that's not that rare in Vegas.
No, I guess not.
But
do you really want a hot tub in the hot tub in Vegas?
In the room that's
air conditioned? In the private hot tub.
Yeah, it's
but
in your room.
Do they clean it?
Yeah, you drain it. You fill it up yourself.
I don't know.
It's like a jacuzzi.
I need to bleach it myself before I...
Well, no, it's not. Know. It's not a hot tub like that. It's,
oh,
it's like
it's the sexy jacuzzi. Tub.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Where you
I just
fill
get,
it up
I get,
with,
I get weirded it out.
You fill it up with water yourself. I mean, if you want to go down to the community pool,
no, I don't want to do that either.
So there's they do have the clothing optional one.
That's what's up.
It is.
You're singing my
for
song.
Real?
Yes, for real. It's
song.
Vegas.
Oh shit!
There are clothing optional.
I look for
in
any
Vegas.
Opportunity. I've just had the. Someone point out that perhaps I am an exhibitionist at heart.
Perhaps.
I know that I enjoy being naked. I didn't realize that I actually get pleasure from being naked in front of other people.
Okay. This is something they say
now,
in Florida.
No, are you talking emotional pleasure or are you talking?
It's not like tickle my pickle pleasure. No.
Ew,
no.
Okay.
God damn it. People.
It's more of a satisfaction.
So it's an emotional pleasing.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Yeah. So it pleases your psyche.
It's definitely psychologically pleasing.
Okay.
I feel exhilarated and there's something special about being exposed to other people. There's this liberation that happens whether they want to be witness to it or not. There's a certain
so you're like the guy on the pride float in his thong dancing around.
I might
that
be
guy.
That guy. I might
that
be
that guy.
Him. The pride float guy.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
The guy on the top of the float, he's only wearing a thong, no shirt.
Yeah.
And he's dancing.
Shaking it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Shaking it like a tail. Shake it. Shake it. God damn. I have no brain cells today. Whatevs.
But you got a delicious summer wheat anchored beer there. How was that?
It was good. Is it bad that all alcohol pretty much tastes the same to me? It was good, though. It was
no,
good.
It's probably good because it's a lot cheaper for you. Once you can start to tell the difference, it will get more expensive to drink.
Yeah. Exactly. That's probably
although, here's the thing. I'm drinking a Rainier. I'm drinking a can of Rainier beer, so I can't really speak right now.
Because that tastes... I know that's better than the Bud Light Coors Light that I drink.
Yes, it is.
That's where my bar is set.
Oh,
wow.
No.
But I also...
Bud Light is... beer pong beer. That's the stuff that, you know, it's like
it's
water.
Called being
it's
poor.
Like
Bud Light
water.
Is the beer you don't mind being spilled.
It's, exactly.
But that's why I drink it when I do shows, though. So I get a little bit of alcohol, and it keeps me preoccupied because I'm drinking.
So you can keep drinking without getting too schwasted.
That, and also I get more full, and it doesn't taste that good. So I just I kind of pace myself.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Before I drink it. I drink it because it fills me up, and it doesn't taste that good.
Yeah, because I'm a responsible adult. Duh.
I appreciate that.
So as far as plans in Vegas, nothing concrete now. The only thing I said is I want to go to the Mob Museum. They have turned the old City Hall into a full-fledged mob museum.
That sounds fantastic.
Commemorating the mafia in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. And I talked to I've got a friend who lives in Vegas, and he said, block out a whole afternoon. It is a top-notch museum. You'll need
no
the
doubt.
Time.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of stoked on that. I talked about maybe going a side trip to the Grand Canyon, but I don't know if we're going to have the time. We're going to be flying in on Tuesday.
You're not going to have the time.
Flying out on Friday.
Yeah.
And with Thanksgiving, we have 6 o'clock reservations at Delmonico's Steakhouse for Thanksgiving.
There's a Thanksgiving meal for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
So... it's going to be fun. It's going to be a good time. So we got that coming up. And this past weekend, Leslie and I wanted to get out and do some stuff, but she had a couple things that were bugging her. And so I'm like, well, let's do this. We ran a couple errands. I went to Dimple to flip through some records because I find that soothing.
It is a soothing activity.
And my collection of Creedence Clearwater Revival albums is almost complete. I got Pendulum.
Nice.
I got Pendulum.
And
so
the cover was of
pristine.
Nice, of course.
Pristine. The last
the best for Nate.
The
Garland.
Only other time I saw it, it was a ripped to shit cover.
Right.
Stained, split. This one was great. And so we did that. And we came back and we're like, let's walk down to Buckhorn. So we live in Midtown Sacramento. Let's walk down to Buckhorn and grab lunch because she is on a salad type eating diet. My diet is lean proteins and stuff. So I went a little bit off, but I got the tri-tip.
Yeah.
So we walked down to Buckhorn Grill, which, by the way, if you're in Sacramento, New York City, San Francisco, go to Buckhorn. It's fantastic.
It's pretty good.
It's fantastic.
Fan-fucking-tastic.
So we had lunch, and then we're like, let's go and let's walk around Midtown. Because there's a lot of stuff around Midtown that, you know, unless you really walk around, and a lot of time when I'm walking places, I'm walking to get from point A to point B.
I'm not soaking in the sights, per se.
Or I'm driving, or I'm on my bike. I'm looking to go from point A to point B.
Right.
So I'm like, let's just walk. And we stopped at this vintage clothing / costume store that wasn't far from there. And they had some of the most ridiculously awesome pimp looking outfits you would ever see. Let me call one up here so Diana can take a look at it. Because I took a few photos here.
So Diana gets to see it, but I don't.
Pretty much the same about you, Felicia.
I'll pass
hey,
on.
Bitch.
Okay, here this,
over there. A little
this was
a, couch.
That's in the window.
This is dope.
It's a white pimp suit.
That's dope with a little pink trim.
Yeah. Now you,
hey yo,
Sam. There's
pink accent.
There's and they've got zoot suits
damn,
in there.
Son.
They've got all of this stuff that I am too fat to wear. There's nothing in that store that will fit me aside from maybe some shoes.
I want to buy this.
That
the full outfit is.
Yeah.
Oh, the
it's
pink
gorgeous. Yeah.
And then what is that? Turquoise.
It's like
the
a turquoise mint green somewhere.
Yeah.
Oh,
between.
I would rock the shit out of
sea
that.
Foam,
and
perhaps.
Like a, it's like a white. It's a white suit. White
I would actually pretend
suit.
To like go. I would go to the streets and like get some streetwalkers and be like, "I'm now your pimp."
Dope.
So we
Diana
stopped.
Diana the pimp.
We stopped there. That was pretty cool. And we went. What we wanted to do is we were going over to check out on 16th Street. they've got all of these new buildings that are apartments on top and retail on the bottom. So there's a healthy eating place, which was kind of cool because you can like pre-order meals and they'll deliver them.
Ooh,
this isn't that vegan place.
No. This is on 16th Street.
Okay.
So they've got all sorts of stuff. There's the noodle place that Leslie wanted to check out.
The Shoku Noodle House.
It's just called Noodle something.
Oh. Okay.
Anyway, I was looking at the menu because they've got it up there. I'm like, they are smart because I'm not going to have noodles. That's right. Not my thing.
Uh-huh.
But they have two different sandwiches that I would eat. It's smart. If you got a restaurant, have something for the not adventurous eater.
Have the niche and the kitsch.
Yeah, just have something that all I need is one thing on the item that I'm going that senior plane eater is going to like.
Uh-huh.
And I'm
that
good.
Go-to. Yeah.
And then we went into the University of Beer.
Nice.
Which is are you familiar with the University
of
Beer?
I know where it is. It's right next to Pronto and those other things.
Yeah, that's,
I haven't actually, I've looked through the window and marveled at the number of taps.
There are 100 beers on tap.
Yeah.
There's one in Davis as well.
Uh-huh.
And so we went in there to check it out, and they were super cool, super friendly. It wasn't very busy because it was middle of the afternoon on Sunday. Giants game was on TV.
Uh-huh.
The coolest thing about that place is not the 100 beers on tap, though. And that is cool. The coolest thing, both literally and figuratively, is we're sitting at the bar, and you've got the bar, and then just behind that is a frosty strip of metal, which is about as wide as a coaster. And they pour your beer, and they put it down on that. And it sits on that frosty strip to stay cold. And
shut
you,
up.
Yeah!
So they value the crisp freshness of your every sip.
Yes.
This is fantastic.
And they've got t-shirts that say, I'd tap that.
Of course.
I used to say that in golf all the time.
That's a little tap joke, huh?
Yeah, it's a good tap joke. Like, that should be, that's a great shirt.
Yeah. So,
speaking of taps.
Than golf,
yes, sir.
Nate Darling, if there's anyone who should be on this social media app, it's you.
Okay.
You savvy with Untappd?
I've seen it.
Minus the E.
Yeah, I know what it is. I just don't use it.
Yeah.
Because I'm just like, eh.
I would imagine you should get stoked. I, who, you know, enjoy a good beer,
mm-hmm.
but not with the prestige and experience that you have.
Well.
Okay. Well, I've downloaded this app.
Yes.
And I have one friend who is an active user.
Right.
But opening that app every time I go to a bar, and it motivates me to get a beer I've never had before. Like, hey, what do you have that's local? What's something different? And it's forcing me, and it started this fire. Now it's like, if you ever played Pokemon, there's 100.
I have not.
There's 150 Pokemon. You've got to catch them all.
I see.
You don't just hang out in the one forest and catch all the Pokemon there. You have to travel in order to catch them all.
Sure.
So I've got this fire inside me to like, dude, I got to go hit up all the different bars and catch those different beers that I've never had. And they give you little awards, little treasures, like, you've just unlocked the this and that, the I'd tap that award, or whatever, you know?
Right.
And it's a good feeling. I take pictures of each one. And it also acts as a catalog. It has a rating system.
Right.
So if there's a beer you truly love, you can go back and see, that one wasn't so good. This one I love. And it'll tell you where you can buy it in a store, where you can buy it in a restaurant or a bar.
Yeah.
So...
But so University of Beer was really cool.
Yes, back to the uni.
It was really cool. We wandered out of there, and we went over. We went to check out this place called the Federalist Public House, which is really hidden.
Yeah, I don't know anything.
It's
about
very
that.
Much hidden. It's in an alley, off of. It's in an alley between Capitol and N Street, and between 20th and 21st. So. And it's hidden in there, and it's basically made
what
of...
What is this?
It's made of shipping containers.
The fuck?
It's made of shipping containers. And they had a better menu of stuff, and we had already eaten, so it wasn't that big a deal. So they had a few things on tap, but it was mostly, like, a few good beers and good food.
Okay.
And then we went on because we had not been to Deer Beer Garden.
Uh-huh.
Which is also made of shipping containers.
I thought that one was wood.
There is
it's
wood,
like a
but,
wood deck.
Oh, well, there is wood, but the main structure there is a
shipping
is a
container.
Shipping container.
Okay, yeah.
And They've got a really nice selection of beers, and the really good sort of cool setup, hangout, but a lot of hipsters. But here's what I've come to realize. There is a hipster inside me yearning to get out.
I think there is, Nate.
This is what's happened.
I didn't
want
to break that news to you, but I think so.
I've come to the sad realization. There's a hipster inside me yearning to get out. The only thing keeping it from him is I'm too fat to be a hipster.
Oh, come on. Hipsters don't really know size.
Yes, they do. They all wear skinny jeans. Like, Sam, look.
Well, these are actually some of my baggier jeans.
See?
Yeah, that's right. But check it out. If you brought Sam that mustache back... Bring back the handlebars.
Oh, yeah.
Put on a nice plaid shirt.
He does have a
and
point.
Some tight pants. There you go. There's your hands.
Well, yeah, but my pants are tight because I'm fat. It's not the same thing.
It counts.
It's not the same thing.
It's
although to be fair, I have lost 9 pounds.
Congratulations.
It's not that
this
big
is your
a deal.
Lean protein deal.
Yes. Okay. So that I don't die.
Yeah. Please don't die.
And so that I will actually fit into the seat on the airplane. Because that's a real concern at a certain point.
Yeah. Do they force you to pay for 2 seats at one point?
Well, I'm not that fat.
I know you're not. I'm just curious.
Yes.
Is there a point where
yes.
they make you?
Yes.
That's
if you
that's...
cannot wedge yourself into a seat with the armrest down.
Yeah.
They will make you pay for 2 seats.
Wow.
Like right then and there?
I don't know how it's set up, and there's been a lot of back and forth about this, but it's like, if you take up that much room,
yeah.
What do you do? And what about, because I've seen this
and
where...
there are elbow room Nazis.
Yeah, no, forget about that. That's just not going to happen. That's another reason why I love the D-Box theater.
Right.
You have your own chair. Not only does it move, you have 2 armrests.
That's beautiful.
No elbowing. That alone is worth the extra money.
Yeah.
That was up side to side.
But yeah, it was just a really nice walkabout Midtown on Sunday.
That sounds amazing, dude.
Yeah.
So did you have the goal of finding this Federalist Papers or whatever?
That place I did because it was on our morning show, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to go check that out.
Right on.
But when
you got University of Beer, you got the Federalist Papers place. Am I saying that right? What's it called? Federalist Papers.
It's not the Federalist Papers. That is something very different.
That sounds very different.
It's the Federalist Public House.
There you go. The
Where
Public
is it?
House.
Were you not here two
he
minutes
stated
ago?
He it. It was a long explanation between this corner of two streets
you know where the
and this corner
you know where
of two
the Chase Bank?
But that's what it's called, like the whole entire thing?
Federalist Public House, yes. And it's basically a shipping container. Do you know where the Chase Bank is on 21st Street?
Yes.
Do you know where the parking lot to that bank is?
No.
It's right next to the bank where they keep parking lots.
Jackass.
It's off of that alley.
Yeah.
So, I know what you're talking about now. I think I got lost with Federalist Papers, and then you said the actual name because I went in and out with names when you were talking.
Federalist Papers. It's a magic carpet.
That's fine. And I even stopped at Mike's, I think it's called Mike's Camera on J Street.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And if you're in, I'm going to give him a free ad because the guy was so cool and was chatting me up. They're going to have a big tent sale coming up the weekend, not this weekend, but next weekend.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, we're going to have a big sale with tents and vendors and the whole thing.
Are they going out of business or is it just a big old sale?
No, it's just a big sale. Okay. It's not a going out of business sale because they're having all of the manufacturers coming in.
Oh, wow.
With all of their stuff. Like, and you know, I walked in there and they got cameras that shoot video in 4K, and I'm like, oh, I so want that. And
so
then I'm like,
good.
That is so much overkill,
yeah.
And I don't have the storage for it.
I don't even have a television monitor to view it, but it's so good.
Well, you know, because we work together.
Yes.
Can you imagine 4K footage on that? I mean,
dude,
come on.
Our workflow would be constipated, bro.
Editing on a window that's 5 inches by 4 inches.
Yeah.
It just really, it would be hilarious.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was the walkabout Midtown. So that was a good time.
You inspire me. I used to be I was an avid walker. Not one of these like, I'm going for a walk to get fit, but I'm going for a walk so I can appreciate the little things you don't appreciate when you're driving by.
Yeah, my friend David, like, that's where I got the term from. He uses the term walkabout because he would post it on Facebook a lot of times. I don't see him on Facebook, and I don't know why.
Yeah.
Whether he stopped posting or whether he suddenly magically got hidden from my feed. Maybe he unfriended me. Maybe he's not my friend anymore. That would be awkward.
That's actually probably what happened.
We might want to invest.
But yeah, he used the term walkabout a lot. It's like, I'm going on a walkabout. And it was just,
is he like an English heritage or something?
No. No, he's from Western New York.
Well, I appreciate
that. Isn't that like Australian?
I believe it is.
Yeah.
Walkabout?
Yeah, but they have it at the Outback.
Come on down for the old walkabout.
I love that that's how you know.
You know, that's how I don't know a lot about different cultures, but, you know, I will take whatever mainstream media and throws at me.
The steakhouse from the land down
that
under.
Is not that good.
No, we are still friends.
Oh, that's weird.
Okay. I'm glad. I was going to ask you to confirm that, so thank you.
We are, and he posted on Facebook yesterday.
Which is, give me his top feed there.
Amber and I, and that's his wife, are rewatching the Lord of the Rings trilogy. That said, in D&D parlance, I'm married to a halfling with a super high charisma and mid-range dexterity. I know some of you will get that one.
I didn't get it.
that's probably for the best.
Yeah.
That's like super nerd level stuff.
Yeah.
That's
I kind of want to like have you like screenshot that for me and copy it and send
so
it to me
so
I can send it. Yeah, I think I have a translator and I want to see if she gets it, because I'm just gonna send it to her and I'm gonna ask, like, do you understand this? And if she sends back lol, this was funny,
yeah,
I think I might cry a little bit, because she's really smart.
Well,
maybe you just need to go for a walkabout.
Yes, it's entirely possible. I don't know if I can shoot. I'll work on that when I get the internet back, because I'm not going to try and do it on my phone while we're recording a show.
So growing up in Truckee.
Yes.
We used to be, you know, walking about all the time, but...
It sounds so weird coming from him.
Does it sound weird?
What, the growing up in Truckee or walking
I'm
about?
Just saying walkabout. Anyhow, where we lived, it was a hike down the mountain, and then into town was a distance. And in the winter... It's frigid. But me and my brother and our cousins and our nephew and whatever
and their,
friends.
And their pet bear, Ben.
And our pet bear, Benjamin. We called him Benji for short.
That was a Grizzly Adams reference for you people who don't get it.
Okay, thank you.
I didn't get that one either.
That's because you're too young. That show was on when I was really, really young. It's been off for quite a while.
Yeah. I know about Grizzly Adams. I don't think I've ever seen an episode.
No, there's no need to.
Okay.
It's pretty much the same thing. He lives up in the mountains in the woods with a bear. and then things happen. I would have loved to have been at that pitch meeting. Okay. His name is Grizzly Adams, and he lives with a bear named Ben.
I think the name is what sells it, really.
And
Ben.
Then... It was the 70s. People were high on everything.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, he's a truck driver. His name is BJ, and he has a pet monkey named the Bear. And they drive a tractor trailer around.
Named the Bear?
And we'll call the show BJ and the Bear.
This is a travesty.
This is a real show. This is the
70s.
A monkey. A chimpanzee.
Like, okay, banana. What's the banana club? Banana gang? What's that shit I'm trying to talk about?
I have no idea.
La 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 la.
Oh, I recognize that.
I was banana, like, this whole banana, conversation. Banana, four.
Now he lost me.
Dooby dooby shabba dinga dooga bador.
Definitely lost me. Come I on, was Nate, on your you
know,
side.
I recognize the tune. I don't know what you're talking
it's
about.
It's this weird-ass 70s show with people dressed in weird-ass suits, like riding scooters and skateboards in the intro. It's hella weird.
Okay. I don't know that I know.
Well, anyways, you struck a chord. I feel like I need to research and watch multiple episodes of every 70s TV show now. While probably doing a psychedelic
hold on,
drug.
let me see if I have, say, actually have internet here. Oh, this might be a good sign.
Oh shit.
Uh-oh. We got the Wi-Fi
started from the bottom
going.
Now.
Oh,
now
BJ and
oh, we got internet, you guys. That's important.
Shoot!
We have internet. I almost don't want to do it now. I just want to keep going with the stream of consciousness radio that we're doing. Okay, BJ and the Bear is an American comedy series which aired on NBC from 1979 to 1981. Created by blah, blah, blah. The series stars Greg Evigan and Claude Akins. The theme song, also titled BJ and the Bear, was written by Glenn Glarson and performed by Greg Evigan.
So back when there was a theme song. You don't get theme songs these days.
You do not. Let's see. So Greg Evigan stars as BJ, Billy Joe McKay, a professional freelance itinerant trucker who travels the country's highways in a red and white Kenworth K100 cab over semi-truck with his pet chimpanzee, Bear.
Why?
Named after Bear Bryant, the famous coach from the University of Alabama.
Is that explained in an episode, at least?
It's in Wikipedia. He's constantly harassed by Sheriff Elroy P. Lobo.
Elroy's never a good name. You know that guy's going to be a bitch.
Along with a guest character named Waverly. Episodes typically deal with BJ uncovering or getting mixed up with crime in the area he's traveling through as a local resident, usually a beautiful young woman, appealing to him for help. So that's a show.
That's the standard formula.
It was on 3 seasons. They have 48 episodes of it.
Wow.
So there's that. And
48 episodes of that. A monkey named Bear. I'm going to start a new show because apparently everything comes back around. Just called The Monkey Named Bear. I bet it'd be a great hit.
So Grizzly Adams, The Life and Times of Grizzly Adams, is the TV show. And it was sort of set against... it was at first an independent feature film. Uh-huh. And subsequent TV series inspired by a 1972 historical fiction novella. So it wasn't true at all, but there was a novella written about it.
Oh, my God.
Now, the film got popular like the NBC television series of the same name. The title character played by Dan Haggerty was loosely based on a California mountain man, James Grizzly Adams, who lived from 1812 to 1860, whose real name was John Capen Adams, a one-time Boston shoe and bootmaker.
So it's not even James or Jimmy?
No, it's John. John.
Even though he went by Jimmy Grizzly.
The film and TV series portrayed the fictional Grizzly Adams as a frontier woodsman who fled into the mountains after he was wrongly accused of murder. Sort of like the A-Team. While struggling to survive, Adams saves an orphan grizzly bear cub he adopts and names Ben. The bear, while growing to its huge adult size, becomes Adams' closest companion. Adams discovers and demonstrates an uncanny ability to gain the trust of most of the indigenous wildlife of the region. So like Aquaman, but on land. and he helps, sometimes rescues, takes in, and tames many species. Now, originally a hunter, with his learned affection for wildlife, Adams resolves to never harm another animal whenever possible. So in the TV series, Adams has two human companions, an old mountain man trader named Mad Jack, who is played by Denver Pyle, who later went on to be Uncle Jesse in The Dukes of Hazzard.
Shut up.
That's right.
Wow.
Who is often featured with his mule, Number 7. And...
where are they naming these animals? A bear named Ben and a mule named Number 7. This is fucked up.
And a Native American by the name of Nakoma, played by Don Shanks. Together during each episode, Adams, Mad Jack, and Nakoma help myriad mountain visitors while protecting wildlife at the same time.
They just don't make shows like they used to, do they?
They do not.
Definitely not.
Here, this show, let's see, how many, does it say how many episodes here? That was the movie. So 38 episodes, 2 seasons on NBC.
And the National Broadcasting Corporation.
Yep. NBC. This was on real TV. And that was when there was
not like Spike TV.
Sam, that was
like one of those
weird... This was when there were 3 channels.
Right. There was the major networks and nothing else.
Yeah, and this was what was on TV. This is what was on TV.
So now I understand what happened in the 80s. It was the television program in the 70s.
Yes.
That
oh, yeah.
set up the weird, awkward phase of our culture.
Yeah. So this was the one I was saving for you, Sam, from last week's from
is this
Florida
the twin
Corner.
Thing?
Yes, identical Florida twins arrested for throwing bricks at each other.
So, Florida. How old were they? This is an important question.
Both were 52.
Are you kidding?
I am not.
We got over our twin angst by the age of 20, at least. Maybe earlier.
Michael and James
52.
Remulus, who were both 52, were in an Orange City house's front yard at 8:45 on a Tuesday when they began arguing. The debate turned ugly when Michael threatened to throw a brick at his sibling. Then James, of course, grabbed a similar-sized block to defend himself.
Similar-sized block.
Michael then threw his brick, which hit his brother on the leg. James subsequently launched his own missile, which struck his sibling in the right eye.
Oh, shit. You can tell which one's got better aim.
I love whoever sat at the desk and wrote them. Let me see if there's a bylight on this. Lee Moran. Lee Moran has a thesaurus.
Is that one name or is that two names? Lee Moran.
Two?
Lee and then Moran is the second
one. Yeah. I thought it might have been Lee Moran. Like one of those, like, you know, like Emily Jo.
Why is he talking?
I don't know.
Carry on.
Cops were called and the identical twins were charged with aggravated battery and taken to jail. James was not identical bail though. One had $25,000 bail, the other $20,000.
Yeah, fucker hit him in the eye. Shit, bro.
Well, maybe he should have been faster at dodging bricks.
So you get an extra $5,000 on your bail because you have better aim?
That sounds fucked up.
You're right.
They
both engaged in the altercation. It should have been a fair draw.
You remember when Fox had this TV show Caught on Camera? Or bad coworkers caught on camera.
Yeah, everyone
this reminded
it.
Me of this, and I'm like, I just checked the date. This is from April of this year.
Huh. Oh, shit, they're still doing it. Because I was like, this story happened before.
No, well, they're not still doing the story, still doing the show. But a Minnesota man has pleaded guilty to in the show, he was peeing in the coffee pot.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, well, this Minnesota man has pleaded guilty to ejaculating into a coworker's coffee mug and onto her desk.
I swear, someone did this before already.
Well, there are no new things, Diana.
Yeah,
there's just variations in style.
Touché.
He acknowledges lewd behavior at a hardware store.
What incited this?
We'll see what we can find. He pleaded guilty to a reduced charge of indecent exposure. He was originally charged with a felony criminal sexual conduct after his arrest last September, but later dropped the count, citing a lack of evidence. The hardware store manager was taken into custody after a female employee called police to report that Lynn had left bodily fluids on her desk and that her coffee tasted bad.
That's gross.
My coffee tastes real bad. She told investigators she had discovered the head of the plumbing and heating department standing over her desk with his hands around his genitals.
That's so gross. And he's not, I mean, not that this would change anything. He's not, he looks creepy.
Right.
A stinky liquid was dripping from her desk onto the floor.
Oh, gross, bro.
And her coffee had emitted the same stink for months.
Stinky.
But she
he's been doing this for a long time?
But she thought it was caused by sour milk.
Oh, my God.
Now you know why I drink my coffee black.
Me too. Dear. I mean, now I have a real excuse. Before, I just did it because I just was cutting down the calories.
He admitted to investigators that he had deposited several genital emissions into the woman's coffee mug and onto her desk. He knew his behavior was, quote, gross and wrong, unquote. He said he was attracted to the woman and wanted to get her attention.
You've got to be kidding.
You know, Sam, not all people were socialized as children well.
No, you're right.
They don't understand the proper way to get people's attention.
Thank you for a very open-minded worldview perspective.
As an only child, you know, sometimes you struggle to socialize with the other kids. You had somebody to hang with from the womb.
From within the womb.
From pre-birth.
Yeah, you're right.
So you don't understand the struggle of the socially awkward.
This poor guy.
We talk about it a little bit on the Well Hung podcast for Monday. The news broke, the Vanity Fair cover with Caitlyn Jenner, formerly Bruce Jenner on the cover.
Yes.
Looking a little too saucy for an elderly lady.
Yeah.
I would say that was the most shocking part.
But right? It's Hollywood lady.
Exactly. Well, this is the thing that I've already heard people on Facebook giving hell about. Is like, well, shit, this is still sexist shit because they could put Bruce Jenner on a magazine, but as soon as it's Caitlyn Jenner, they got to go and Photoshop all the wrinkles out. So now Caitlyn Jenner's got all the wrinkles photoshopped out.
Well,
to make her look a lot saucier than she really is.
Well, it's called
Vanity Fair.
Yeah, it's exactly. called Vanity Fair. It's not a big deal.
They're not going to treat her any differently.
Yeah.
Right.
You're going to play by woman rules, then we're going to give you the woman. Guess what? You can be ugly and we'll still make it look hot card.
You want to be a lady? You're gonna,
I think she could
get it all. And the comparisons to celebrities have started to come in. Some of them I can see. Others I cannot. They're saying that Caitlyn Jenner looks like Angelina Jolie. Not in a kabillion
not
years.
Not even close. I've heard someone say Courtney Cox, and I'm like, there's a little with the jawline.
Here are the top five, Sam. Number five is Angelina Jolie, which I call bullshit.
That's bullshit.
Number four, Brooke Shields. By the way, the years have not been kind to Brooke Shields.
Oh, poor thing.
At least not the photo they've got of her here. It's not a good photo. But Brooke Shields also a very tall lady, so that would fit in. Mm. Cindy Crawford, number three. Not in a million years.
Not a million years.
Does Caitlyn Jenner look like Cindy Crawford?
I think Cindy Crawford's been out of the public eye so long that they hope people would forget.
You forgot how hot Cindy Crawford
right,
is?
Exactly.
Gina Davis, number two. That was that one I can kind of see.
Okay.
A little bit.
Gina Davis.
How dare you? How dare you? Do you recognize her now, Diana?
Yeah, I do. She is in a lot of movies.
Yeah. And number one, Jessica Lange, which I do not see either.
Really help see me with one. Jessica Lange. What's Jessica Lange from? Where would I know Jessica Lange?
She's pretty famous. I don't know exactly where, but I remember she was famous.
Yeah. Let me find some movies here for you really quick. Since I have the internet now, it's amazing how much quicker everything works with the
World Wide Web at your fingertips.
Yeah, traveling at the speed of cable internet.
Hop on your surfboard and surf that web.
So let's see. Let me see if we might know her from. Ooh, she's been in a lot of things that you probably have not seen. Cape Fear?
Nope.
I'm trying to find popular. Well, this was before your time, but Tootsie, her first movie was King Kong. So,
original King Kong?
No, from 1976. She's not okay. The one from the 30s.
Not the black and white.
Not the one from the 30s, Sam, because she would be dead.
Yeah, no, I'm not picking up on the original King Kong, or the second King Kong.
Let's see, she was in Rob Roy, Hush,
nope.
Prozac
nope.
Nation.
Nope.
Yeah, a bunch of movies
Okay.
I don't know. She's known for Cape Fear, Tootsie, and Big Fish.
Big Fish! I saw Big Fish!
There we go. One you saw.
I don't know what character she was, but I saw the movie. It was depressing and hopeful at the same time. This is what I recall.
In Big Fish, she was Sandra Bloom Sr.
Okay. I accept that.
So there you go. Celebrity doppelgangers, allegedly.
Who came up with this list? Because they're probably on the crack.
Well, a lot of it goes from Twitter.
Courtney Cox, let's be honest.
That was in there, too. That was one of the ones I saw.
Okay,
it was on that list, but I saw that as it was going through. Uh-huh. Let's see what we got here. Oh, this has got a couple of cool things here from the big list, so we can actually get to it. This kind of freaked me out. You ever thought of your own funeral, Sam?
Hell yeah, dude. I've already got a playlist picked out, dog.
Oh, well, you know what you can do?
Huh.
You can have a hologram of you do your own eulogy.
No.
That's
what people with no friends do. If you got someone who loves you, you
really
let them.
Smoking. Great time. Met your mom there.
Meet Carl Minardo. Well, it's not the real Carl. It's
oh,
a 3D
shit.
Holographic moving image of Carl delivering his own eulogy.
What a great life I had. And
your brain that makes it 3D.
Now meet the real Carl, the president of AIM Holographics in West Palm Beach. And he hopes to change the future of funerals by giving folks the ability to pre-record their eulogy
and
with
play
3D
the band.
Holographic technology.
This would be in Florida.
It gives you an opportunity to talk to the people who were important to you in your life and really, now that you're gone, let them know how meaningful they were to you.
It is technology.
Why don't you do that today, bitch?
Michael Jackson or Tupac Shakur, Carl says the eulogy or any other message or video, in this case dancer Natasha, is recorded in a studio and featured on projectors both small and large.
I'm standing behind the hologram projection screen known as a HoloCube. It projects pre-recorded 3D images in life size.
It's as realistic as you can get without being you. Other than you coming up and talking to me, this is the closest it's ever going to be because it's three-dimensional.
It's
Carl
creepy.
Hopes to tap into the 76 million baby boomers driving...
Help us, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're our only hope.
So it's not one of those, like, green... It doesn't look green.
It's like
holograms of yore. They were always green. This is like true color hologram.
Yeah. Real color. Okay. Real color.
Real shit.
There's a little benefit to that. It's like I get, you know, that the whole Tupac hologram dancing gig that happened, the whole gimmick. But delivering your whole, your own eulogy, this guy's business model's flawed.
Well, I think it's kind of cool because then you can just, the time when everyone is grieving,
yeah,
you can just take that last minute to go, I know you're grieving, but I love you, man.
I would call it a pre-eulogy.
Why don't
have they, deliver listen, a message? Yeah, but don't sit here and talk about how great you are. That's a, like
well,
masturbation.
That, well, here's the thing: you can put whatever
public masturbation.
You can put whatever you want. And the thing is, like for a Catholic funeral, there's not even a eulogy. It's always delivered by the priest,
right? Right.
And not really much of anything. So, yeah. new words in the dictionary. The dictionary, pointless now.
Seriously.
The Merriam-Webster Dictionary, or MW.com as I know it. 1,700 new words, including WTF.
I'm so done with society.
That's not a word.
I'm done with society.
It's an abbreve, Sam.
It's an abbreviation.
I'm so fucking done.
It's
Urban Dictionary is more up to date than Webster.
Uh-huh.
We've reached that point.
The definition, what the F... used especially to express or describe outrage, surprise, recklessness, confusion, or bemusement.
So done.
Diana's having a WTF moment.
she falls in her bemusement right now.
Oh, no. I'm not okay with this.
NSFW. Not safe for work, not suitable for work. Used to warn someone that a website, email attachment, etc. is not suitable for viewing in places of employment.
Well, I have read that and had no fucking clue what it meant. So thank you, Merriam-Webster, for putting that one in.
If you Urban Dictionary
I'm like, I don't know what that means. Sounds like a communist thing. Let's see what this
you
is about.
You just have to Urban Dictionary it.
Yeah. Jeggings.
Yeah, it's the jean leggings.
It's a legging designed to resemble a tight-fitting pair of denim jeans that's made of stretchable fabric. They put photobomb in the dictionary. Here's one you probably... Let's see, have you heard the term egg corn? Egg corn?
This is not a term!
I don't know.
It's a noun.
Nate, darling, this is an April Fool's joke.
It is a noun.
Late.
It's a word or phrase that sounds like and is mistakenly used in a seemingly logical or plausible way for another word or phrase, either on its own or part of a set of expressions.
Acorn.
Egg corn. Egg.
I get it.
Corn.
But if you say it fast, it sounds like acorn.
meme. They put meme in.
I still don't get egg corn.
I don't get it.
Give me an example.
They don't.
Fuckers.
Do it on your own time.
Make it.
That's some bullshit. if you use egg corn and you're listening, fuck you.
Emoji. Is in here.
Why are we still
they put emoji in the dictionary.
Well, see, there's still a little controversy over that term. Some people still call it emoticon.
Uh-huh.
Some call it emoji.
Is emoticon in here? So then we can look up the real definition and compare the two and see what the difference is.
Sam, right? here's one you're going to like. They put sriracha in the dictionary.
Oh, dear Lord.
That wasn't already there?
No.
That should have been there.
It's a brand name.
Yeah.
No, it's a type. There is the cock sauce, the original sriracha. That's the name is like Kung Fong Shuang Wang. It's not, sriracha is the type of sauce.
I'm tapped out, yo.
Okay. Out. We lost her when I said cock sauce. Yeah. Sriracha is the type.
I'm not about this.
It's a chili pepper sauce with sugar and garlic. It's really delicious.
And also twerk made the dictionary now.
Now, let's be honest, though. Didn't twerk? Wasn't that word used in a rap song in like the late 90s,
mid 90s?
Yeah, but that doesn't mean it made it to the dictionary.
Yeah, because Miley Cyrus, of course, leave it to the white
Why did Miley have to be the reason that got in the dictionary?
Because she's white.
She doesn't even have an ass.
I don't know that she was the reason why.
No, it became like super mainstream. Before it wasn't like socially acceptable, and then it became a joke, because, and then everyone wrote about it.
It did become a joke.
Let me break something down for you. It becomes popular and mainstream when the white people like it because there's more of us.
That's right.
Okay.
It's called that's why we're not a minority.
Okay.
Because we're a majority.
Except fuck all you white people who like that shit. Fuck you.
No, but here's the problem. If you write a word, if it's written enough times in publication, it goes into the dictionary.
Mm-hmm.
So
what's their standard? Like 200 million thousand?
No, it's a couple thousand, I think.
Yeah,
because that's how Bootylicious got in the dictionary, and I read it, and they said it. There's like a couple numbers that has to be in like certain types of publication. So even if someone's making fun of it, but they say twerking, even if they're making fun of it, it counts as one.
So
as
this
one
is what,
step closer.
This is what I've noticed, being that I've been closely involved in media journalism.
Sure.
I noticed that we often turn to the internet for lack of good news.
Yes.
And this is why bullshit like this is getting the publication that they need to make the journal.
I'm opposed to the whole thing.
I hear you.
I
hear you, Homer.
I really just don't think Urban Dictionary and Dictionary.com should have the same words in it, and in the way that like Urban Dictionary is ahead of Dictionary.com. Like eventually, every single word in Urban Dictionary is going to be
how about this
in a book.
I created my own dictionary, not just myself. It was with a group of friends, and our words phonetically, the sound is very fitting to what the meaning should be. How come they don't?
Oh, good.
You know what? What's the word spickered sound like to you? Tell me what spickered sounds like.
I'm not feeding this. I'm not playing along
Diana,
with this right now.
Off the top of your head, you hear spickered. What comes to mind?
A sprinkler that's broken.
That's pretty good. Nate Darling. Spickered.
That would be a bastard of the Latino persuasion.
Okay, going with spick.
Wow.
That's clever.
Wow.
Okay, so in our...
I'm never going to guess it. I'm just looking
for what would fit there. Yeah. Okay. So we had our own dictionary of words, but our dictionary was poop specific. And spickered is what happens when a turd exits your anus, hits the water, and the water hits your anus. That is called a spickered. That's why a broken sprinkler is pretty good. Sprinkler. Turd hits water, hits anus.
This is why I didn't want to play this game.
How come my word, which is phonetically obviously sound, if Diana Hong who's never heard the word spicker, came up with something close to the vibe of it, much should be in the goddamn Webster's Dictionary.
Hey, he's got a good butt plug. Let's try that.
Because I think there is another term for that. If you look on UrbanDictionary.com, there's another term for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but mine's better.
You know what you should do?
Is put it in Urban Dictionary?
Yes.
Fuck them.
Well, if you want it to be in the fucking dictionary, then don't bitch about it if you're not going to do
all right,
the work.
I guess I'll start playing by the rules.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have something.
I hear you.
I have a word in the... I have a term in the Urban Dictionary, and I forgot what it is.
I remember that. I remembered that whole thing.
Oh, I do kind of remember that.
We talked about the word, and you said, I'm going to put that in the Urban Dictionary.
Yeah, and I forgot what it is now.
And they accepted it.
Yeah, it is in there.
Shit.
Yeah.
It's on top of my
head. Hey, have you ever wondered, Sam, Diana, why is there a hole in Swiss cheese?
Because it's holy
cheese. I had wondered that as a child.
Mm-hmm.
But as a man, I just chose to eat the cheese.
Scientists have discovered why Swiss cheese has holes in it. Are you ready? Apparently,
bacteria gas.
It's all down to how dirty the buckets are when the milk is collected.
Huh?
The milk.
So I'm eating dirty cheese? Is that why it smells so bad?
No. All cheese is dirty. It's all mold.
Yeah, but this one's like dirty.
This is dirty cheese.
Yeah, contrary to what cartoons might have suggested over the years, holes are not made by mice eating their way through. No.
Oh, that's cute.
Nor are they produced by carbon dioxide released by bacteria.
That's where I was going.
As popular scientific belief held, so it was placed there. Instead, a Swiss laboratory says they're created by flecks of hay. Little flecks of hay.
But listen who that's coming from. That's the Swiss. They're defending their own cheese. Bullshit. Flex of hay?
Agriscope,
Flex of hay?
Agriscope, a government agricultural institute, said microscopically small hay particles would fall into buckets collecting milk and help, and they would develop into bigger holes as the cheese matures. The process affects only some Swiss cheeses, such as these two that I can't pronounce. And that's fine. Scientists reached their conclusions after adding small amounts of hay dust to milk and making it into cheese over 130 days. Now, the research has not been peer-reviewed, so it's not official yet.
Okay.
The theory that bacteria caused the holes has been around since 1917, after the findings were published by an American scientist, William Clark. The cheese industry calls the holes cheese eyes. Any cheese without eyes is known as blind.
That's cute.
Blind cheese. So.
Three blind mice.
Well, I'm hungry. Thank you very much. Where's the cheese at?
Damn it. You know where I haven't gone yet? Dad's sandwiches.
Shut up! Oh. Just today!
God damn, that hurt. I am.
Okay, you can't yell into the microphone.
I apologize, listeners.
This is sensitive electronic equipment.
I don't know how big that bottle was, but I just had an IPA in a big bottle.
He's not driving.
In less than an hour.
Uh-huh.
And I get loud. When Sam gets drunk, he gets loud. So I apologize.
Okay.
But she struck a chord here. Dad's sandwiches is one of my favorite eateries.
There's a couple of different dads. There's the sandwich shop.
Two sandwich shops.
Yeah, and then
that are tied together. And then there's the other thing down on Freeport.
The dads on Freeport.
Which doesn't count. It's a fine establishment, but it's not where I'm at.
Okay.
It's not where my heart flutters. So dad's sandwiches. There's the one that's next to Cesar Chavez Park, which is the main one. And then there's the original, which is the smaller building off of S Street between 13th and 14th Street, Sacramento. I prefer the smaller original establishment because there's less business douchebags there. They play like metal all the time. The people are hella dope. They have probably 40 different sandwiches, and today I have scratched off. I have their menu on my desk at work. I've highlighted every sandwich except for one. I have eaten every sandwich except for one today.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe tomorrow I'll scratch the next one off. And the thing is, I originally was going to have a star system as to like how much I prefer each one. Is this one my favorite? Is this my favorite? I couldn't decide after four sandwiches. Because everyone is my favorite.
Is there one that you don't like as much as the other?
No.
You know who you remind me of a little bit? It's a cartoon character.
They are perfect.
You remind me of a cartoon character. Would you like to guess which one? Diana, go ahead and guess. Old, maybe a little bit of an old-timey
cartoon.
Does that
have to do with getting loud? Does it have to do with loudness?
No,
volume?
No,
control?
No.
Is it BJ and the Monkey?
Monkey named Bear.
BJ and the Bear was not a cartoon.
Sorry,
that was a live action show.
It should have been a cartoon.
Sam, would you like to guess who you remind me of?
I don't have the faintest clue, but I'm going to go with Babs Bunny because she's hella hot.
Shaggy from Scooby Doo.
Oh, you're right. I would have guessed that if that came up.
Is it a hole in the crotch thing?
No, it's the eating all the sandwiches thing.
Oh, okay.
I can see that. Okay. Yeah, he's the stoner.
He and the dog got stoned and ate huge sandwiches.
You are correct. They had tall sandwiches.
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
Zoinks!
Zoinks!
Zoinks, Scoob! Zoink, Scoob, I'm high and I want a sandwich.
Scooby-Doo was a feel-good show. I think I'm going to watch it before I get
to bed
tonight.
That used to scare me.
And I would have gotten away with it, too, if it weren't for you meddling kids.
It was always a
yeah, it was like an old rich person.
Or a disgruntled Native American.
I don't do both, because that's true. That is true.
I never saw that ending coming.
Yeah.
They would have gotten away with it, too, if it weren't for those meddling kids.
I'd love that show.
Son of a bitch. All right. Well, that's almost a week's worth of shows. Very little internet. Nice job, everybody.
Way to sprinkle it in, though. That was nice.
Yeah. Well, I did a lot of work to get these stories out. So some of them were worth telling. So
yes,
let's wrap this thing up.
Don't let the big world overwhelm you. Let's get small. Small town news.
All right. This is from the organization that now employs Gordy Little. This is not a Gordy Little column, though.
Oh, shit.
This is news, Sam.
So we're not going to get that sweet-ass soundtrack.
No. Headline, barn dances bind communities.
I agree.
Say participants. This is definite small-town news.
I'm kind of jealous already.
Essex, New York. The countryside will ring with fiddles and fun next weekend when folks from across the region gather at Lakeside School's Spring Barn Dance. The school, which is located on a working farm that dates back to the 18th century, prides itself on a blend of holistic and human, where man meets nature and both coexist harmoniously. The 8th annual dance is a big part of that, explained Kathleen Morse, a teacher at the school. The social event evolves organically. As temperatures cool in the late afternoon, families arrive with their children who play and dance while the band warms up and the air fills with the scent of chili, which is cooked on site with
Oh, I was thinking of temperature chili.
No, with the scent of chili.
That's a good smell.
Which is cooked on site with ingredients provided by local farmers. Once the dancers are good and fueled, the crowd shifts as families depart to put their kids to bed.
Fueled up with chili? Come on.
This fucker.
Let's go dance.
Young people and farmers begin to arrive as the sun disappears. It's all natural and organic, said Morris.
That's one way to put it.
That's when it becomes a real barn stomper. Entertainment this year will be provided by Pete's Posse.
This dude's coming up with terms to go in the WM.com, bro.
A Vermont-based trio whose twin fiddle sound receives rave reviews on the Contra Dance Circuit, which I didn't know was a thing, but apparently sees singles and pairs assembling in long lines and dancing in a loosely choreographed fashion. Unlike square dancing, the dance contains few strictly modified moves as a caller keeps the crowd energized, so they're different.
Damn.
Seen from above, the formations take on a kaleidoscope-like formation. Barn dances are hugely popular across New England and slowly gaining popularity in the Champlain Valley.
They're not just gaining popularity, but specifically in the Champlain Valley.
The event last fall at Lakeside drew 100 from all generations, from elders to grasshoppers. Mark Kimball from Essex Farm.
Wait, is that grasshoppers?
Yeah, little kids.
He didn't say little kid. He said grasshoppers.
Yeah, elders to grasshoppers.
Maybe grasshoppers. Maybe he meant grasshoppers.
I'm pretty sure he didn't. Mark Kimball of Essex Farm said barn dances play a critical role in strengthening the community. Mm-hmm. Quote, they're essentially building the connections necessary to keep the agricultural community going. Dances increase the social reach of the region, he said. Folks get to see faces they wouldn't ordinarily see. Yeah. For instance, while others may use it as a dating pool, a useful resource in a rural area,
a dating pool,
where traditional venues for socialization are few and far between. We love supporting it, he said. The 8th annual barn dance at the Lakeside School is tomorrow starting at 5:30 p.m. $10 for singles, $35 for families. And fun fact, my parents met at a barn dance.
Oh, that's really cute.
Oh, my God.
So that's why
Becky,
I felt...
look at her.
But it is, though.
So. She must be one of those rap guys' girlfriends.
For real, though, I've been to a barn dance.
Is that what they
A previous girlfriend part? Was a homeschool girl.
Okay.
Okay. Again, socialization. Mm-hmm. You don't get a lot of it. Barn dance is a premier opportunity for kinky sexual tension between otherwise minutely socialized people. It was exhilarating.
Right after I brought up my parents, Sam.
I'm sorry. Oh no. I had a great time at the bar dance. Nate, will you ever forgive? It's still going.
I think you have your answer.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I had
a good time at the barn dance.
Oh, good.
Memories good. That I still hold in the positive light of an otherwise terrible ex-girlfriend.
That's nice.
Oh, good for you.
You see where this all went south, Diana?
It fell. It fell far.
It all went south. Have I mentioned the Amazon link? Please, if you want to support the show, shop Amazon.
On that note.
From the shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com.
Throw some pity bucks at a brother.
It does not cost anything extra. It helps support the show, and we do appreciate it.
I just bought some matcha tea on Amazon.
There you go. Did you go through the site?
I went through the site.
There you go. Then it will
ceremonial
show.
Powder. It's the good stuff.
And a shout out to our buddy Brian, who bought a TV.
Wow, big purchaser.
Nice, Brian. Good looking out.
Yeah, I got a TV through Amazon, so that's cool. I got some little kitten heating pads for the Front Street Animal Shelter. They put out a call for it.
Oh, Nate.
With a link, and I bought them too.
That is beautiful.
It was really cute.
They put a picture out today because all of them came pouring in.
Yeah.
And like kittens on stacks and stacks of them. So.
Is it too late to put that link out? Maybe a little readout, a little verbalization for the listener?
Check out the Front Street, if you want to support them, look up the Front Street Animal Shelter on Facebook. It'll be on there. And they always need this, that, and the other thing. So
they do great things.
They do in the Sacramento area. And both my cats, Ace and Heifer, from there. So
right on.
That's why I supported them that way. All right, that's going to do it. New Well Hong podcast comes out on Monday. Everybody have a safe and fun weekend. Next week, we'll find out exactly what's wrong with me as I revisit the doctor and figure out what all of these test results really mean.
If they mention the sun...
No.
I'm gonna laugh.
Vitamin D deficiency.
Yeah,
sit outside, son.
Yeah, sit outside. I'll be like, all right. Go to my boss and be like, yeah, I have to sit outside
every
day.
I got a prescription.
I already told her if I put my feet up at work, it's because my doctor told me to.
Good deal.
Which is, it's in fact true.
Do it.
So, hey, speaking of Creedence Clearwater Revival, this is from the Pendulum album. This is a song called Melina, which is awesome on the Nate Darling Show. Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye-bye.